Welcome to the Jan Musin Garden Show on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. It's your opportunity to learn more about your garden and your yard, about dealing with pests, and about taking care of the birds. You can be part of the show with your questions at 395-1450. That's 395-1450. And now, from DeBrine Seeds on Washington Avenue in Zeeland, here's the master gardener, Jan Musin.
And we're on, and we are here, and it's not such nice weather out there today, but it certainly does look a lot like Christmas with the snow falling. But do be very, very, very careful. It is slippery outside. There are places of ice, and on the roads, I know they've been sanding and salting, but yeah, it is not that good out there if you don't really need to travel today. You know what? I think I would stay home and wrap Christmas presents or bake cookies or do something fun rather than get out there and travel. Yeah, and I even have a store, and I'm going to say stay home rather than getting out there and traveling because it is kind of a mess out there. I looked at long-range forecast, and this week doesn't sound bad. Next weekend sounds terrible. So, yeah, let's do what we need to do this week and so we can have the weekend of Christmas off and we can enjoy our family and friends at home. Okay. I'm just going to go right in. The phone lines are open, 616-395-1450. 616-395-1450 is the number to call if you have any questions. I'm going to tell you that the 2023 DeBrine's calendars are ready to pick up. If you submitted a picture for it, you have a free one. Other than that, I do request that you give a couple dollars for Island Dogs and Save a Gatto. We're trying to raise some money for them. We've raised quite a bit of money. We've sold quite a few calendars already. So I'm thrilled about that. They're absolutely adorable this year. So have fun with that. I can't hear myself anymore on the in my microphones or my headphones. Did you hit a button over there?
I did hit a button. Hold on. Let's see. Still can't hear yourself?
I cannot hear myself,
okay,
no.
Well, we're gonna go
on the computer. Okay. That's better. Okay, and we're still doing the 2022 pet food drive. We ask if you bring a bag or a box, can, whatever you can, dog, cat, kitten, puppy, rabbit, ferret food, put it under our tree. Get a calendar for that. And our sincere thank you is going to Furry Friends Pet Food Pantry. And what they do is they help feed the area's pets that if you can't afford, if you really cannot afford to feed your pet. And there are a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of things out there that, you know, the other things that come before feeding your animals. And we certainly don't want them to have to surrender their animals. The animals need to stay at home. So Furry Friends helps keep those animals in their houses and where they belong. So I brought in a whole bunch of cans of cat food. When I find something that my cat likes, I buy like a case of it. And I'll tell you, my cat will get like, a quarter of the way done with that case and then decide, I don't really like this anymore. So I brought in a case of cat food and put it under the tree. And I've also bought a bag of dog food. So even we employees do this. So if you can think about it, you know, if you've got some cat food or some dog food, I don't care, cans or bags or whatever, that your animal really just did not like, bring it in and we'll get it. We'll match it up with some lucky dog or cat out there. I can guarantee you somebody will eat it. If it isn't your little pet, it will be someone's. Mine is much too spoiled. So I'm just not going to say anything more about that. But yes, if you've got some of those at home, I would be glad to take it in and help them get that distributed out where it needs to go. The next thing is Coffee with the Birds. The next session will be January 21st. Kurt Dykstra from the Ottawa County Parks Department does this. He starts at 9:30 on the 21st with a bird watch of the of the areas of the county parks bird feeders, and he's got a lot of bird feeders there. I know he buys a lot of seed. Yeah, he kind of shows what's going on, what birds are coming to the feeders to help identify them for you. It's fun to watch the bird feeders, but it's even more fun if you know what the birds are. I'm like, that's a junco, that's a white-capped chickadee, that's this, that's that. You know, it's kind of fun if you know them. So he'll help you get that, you know, kind of help you identify those birds. The program lasts until noon, and in the middle of it he kind of stops and does a little breakout presentation, and then he goes back to watching the birds. You can join anytime while he's live. It's myottawa.org/birding. That's myottawa.org/birding. I think even if you go to the site right now, you'll see something up there about coffee with the birds. It's kind of fun. It'll be great fun. Kurt will be on the show in January talking about more about coffee with the birds. But if you like bird watching, and it's a great hobby to do, I'd love just sitting there with my cup of coffee in the morning, and I actually get up a little earlier just to be able to watch the birds at the bird feeder. That's one of the first things I do, is feed the cat and feed the birds. That's the way it goes at my house. I am much lighter on the pay scale there. I'm way down there. But yes, the birds are just fun to watch. I love watching them fight. I love watching them feed each other. You'll get to know that certain birds will feed with each other, and then certain birds will not feed with each other. And then about 10:30 every morning, I've got one blue jay that comes in. You hear him, his little call, and all the birds scatter, and then he comes in and he takes what he wants, and then he goes away, and I don't see him again for the rest of the day. But it's kind of fun. Just, you know, I always kind of keep my eye out on the feeder during the day. So yeah, get that. If you don't have your feeders up and stocked right now, I would definitely get them up right now. The birds love that little snack that you can give them. Help fill them up with nutritious food. Usually something high in fat and protein is best. So, you know, black oil, sunflower, peanuts, suet, all those sorts of things are wonderful to feed the birds this time of year. They'll get a lot of fat and fiber and protein out of all of that, and so that keeps them going. Remember, they have to keep that body temperature. Their body temperature is much higher than ours, and they have to keep that, even though it does go down a little bit at night, they have to keep that body temperature warm all night. Otherwise, they do freeze. So, it takes a lot. So they have to stop at a lot of feeders. If you watch, you know, I can watch the birds go to my feeder, and then I watch them fly over to my neighbor's feeder. They like my neighbor's feeder because he feeds them peanuts, and I don't. And I know he feeds them peanuts because he gets them at DeBrine's, and those birds just love that. So they're always by his feeder. And then I've got another neighbor that's got a bird bath, and then they're all by that. And then they might come back to mine. But my neighbor's bird bath is much bigger and much nicer than mine. So, yeah, but kind of fun watching them. I can see all the different backyards, and I can see them where they're going and what they're doing during the day. They got a little route they take, so kind of fun to watch that. Christmas shopping at DeBrine's, it's been busy today. Everyone's picking out feeders. There is 20% off bird feeders now through the end of the year. It's not one of those big sales that's, you know, out there, but if you grab one of our newsletters that are out on the counter, there is a coupon in there for 20% off a bird feeder. And bird feeders make extremely wonderful Christmas presents. You know, even if they've already got a bird feeder or two, you can always find a bird feeder that's going to feed something different, like mealworms or even oriole feeders, like an orange or peanuts in the shell. Get a feeder that does one of those. They're just fun to do. So, you know, there's always a feeder out there that's different. You can't ever say that you've got enough feeders. I've got mini feeders out in my backyard that I'm out there filling every morning. So, you know, you can too. The suet feeder right now is a very popular one in my backyard. But you never know. It kind of varies with the weather. And it's fun. When the weather gets a little better, they're not quite so dependent on me. But it's fun. And I'll tell you, I've got 4 ducks that come up and they sit by my door waiting for me in the morning. And I get out there before, around 6:30 in the morning. They're out there earlier than that, just staring inside the house. They can hardly wait until I walk by, and then they know I am going to fill their feeder, or I'm going to put some food on the ground for them. It's not like I put that much down. I might put a cup of food down for 4 ducks. It's not much, but they're there every morning. The cat loves watching those guys. They come up a couple times during the day to see, did she give us any more? And I never do, but they come up and look. And it's fun to watch them. They're kind of an odd group, especially before the sun's up. They look almost weird when they're out there. Look like little hooded robbers or something, because their necks extend out and they're looking. So they are fun. So get out there and feed those birds. But yes, get a new bird feeder for someone for a Christmas present. A wonderful idea. Had a couple people this morning get gift certificates at DeBrine's. They give those out to their favorite aunt, their grandmother, their parents, whatever. And then their parents can come in and buy bird seed, and it's something that they don't have to buy for themselves and use their money for. It's a great present. You know, they love to feed the birds, but it might be too expensive if you're on a limited income. So this way they can buy, and one guy gets enough that the people can get enough bird feed for the entire year, and they love it. His parents come in. They're always so excited about, and here's my gift card. And they keep using it, and they know exactly how much is left on it every time. So it is fun to watch that. I love seeing that. I love when people pass that love of the birds from one generation to another. It's just a fun thing to do. You gotta, we've got to take a break here right now, but we will be back. I got to talk about some ice melting products, and we will be back with that after these messages.
Let's get back to the Jan Musin Garden Show. Call the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland now at 395-1450. Once again, here's Jan Musin.
We're back. Phone lines are open. 616-395-1450. 616-395-1450. Promise we'd talk about ice melt, and that's something we have to talk about. It is slippery out there. I can guarantee if you walked on your driveway or you rode over your driveway yesterday and you going out this morning, there's ice underneath it. It is pretty tricky, because yesterday was that really heavy, wet snow. So you're going to probably need to put a little ice melt down. We've got plenty of it at DeBrine's, and we have different varieties, some that will be a little easier on your bushes and on your shrubs. Some are easier on if you have concrete, especially new concrete. There are some that work better at colder temperatures, and it looks like next weekend we're going to have to be thinking about that, because it looks like it's going to be a lot colder next weekend. So think about all of that, and then we just go to DeBrine's and we have them figuring out for us. The guys always love to do that sort of thing. They will gladly guide you into what you need. I kind of like the Safe Step 6300 because it doesn't have any sodium in it at all, and that's really corrosive. So that's kind of nice. But we also have the SurePaws for your pets, and we have many other things that you can use. There's some that have a little coloring in it. We like to use the orange one around the brines, and you, especially they're really nervous about me walking outside on the ice, so they really salt it well, and you can see where the ice melt product is because it's orange. It doesn't track in, but you can see where you put it outside. That's especially handy to have. So again, the guys will be more than happy to not only help pick out the right one for your particular area, but they will also carry it to your car for you. So don't worry about that either. They won't come home with you and put it in your garage, but they will carry it to your car. So at least half of that problem is solved. So do come to buy DeBrine's. Again, doesn't help if it's in our warehouse. It needs to be in your garage because we're going to get a couple weeks of this sort of weather. So be prepared. Get that ice melt down. And everybody thinks, oh, my goodness, I've got, I don't need a 50-pound bag of it. You'll be surprised how quickly you'll go through a bag. But, again, this is something that doesn't go bad during the summer. Just close the bag up and you should be fine for next year. I do it every year. I just put it, I've got a plastic container, I put it in. It just stays in there over the winter or over the summer every year, and I don't have any problem with that at all. So it can be a little hygroscopic, meaning it will pull moisture out of the air, so I probably wouldn't leave it in an open bag because then it's going to get harder than a rock. Fertilizers are hygroscopic also, so if there's a little rip in the bag, you can tell. You'll pick up that bag and you'll feel like you're picking up a great big brick. That's because it's hygroscopic and it's pulling moisture out of the air. All you have to do is just break it up a little bit. It's not a big deal. It's not going to hurt it at all, but it just makes it a little lumpy sometimes. And then you're going to say, but how do I put the ice melt down? Do I just throw it out? Some people just throw it out. Make sure you're wearing gloves. Again, it's hygroscopic and it will really dry out your hand if you don't do it that way. I have a little plastic. It's supposed to be, I think, for fertilizer or for grass seed. And it's all plastic, and I can put the stuff in there, and I can just walk around and crank it, and it just kind of scatters it all out really nicely. That works extremely well for me. I don't have to really worry about it too much because all the parts are plastic. But if you get one that's a little higher end one than mine is, because mine's a really cheap one, that sometimes has metal parts to it. So you're going to want to make sure you take it out and dry it out between uses so it doesn't get rusty. But other than that, those things work well. Even a fertilizer spreader works well if you've got a long driveway to put out some ice melt. It works extremely well. We have a lot. We have a couple of spreaders that are just meant for ice melt, so they don't have the metal parts on them. We have a lot of people that use them that have long driveways, and we have, some of the companies that do people's lawns have those also. So, again, a fun thing to have, sometimes a very necessary thing to have. I don't have that long of a driveway. I could do it very well with my little crank thing, but if you do have a longer one, it's probably nice to invest in one of those that you just push around, and you're just fine. Okay, now, Gary always says that there's nothing to do about gardening this time of year, but you know what? There's a lot of Christmas and holiday things that are just kind of based on plants, and you know that too. I mean, the biggest one, of course, is the Christmas tree. You know, in your house, you're pulling a plant from outside, a huge thing, and putting it inside. That was a Druid and a Celtic thing to do and a Roman thing to do, to bring a live tree in the house and actually decorate it. Romans decorated theirs with like little wreaths of laurel that they would make. But they brought it inside. It wasn't until... They are going to say St. Boniface in he was an English missionary to Germany. I think he might have been the first one. He saw Germany kind of, you know, kind of those nomad-y type of tribes would bring a big green tree inside because it's green, and it's green all year long, so it's like the sign of life, and like life will come back in the spring. That's why they did it. So he kind of changed it to be more of a Christian thing rather than a pagan type symbol. So now the Christmas tree is obviously a sign of Christmas, not of some other Saturnalia or one of those other little things that they used to celebrate at the winter solstice. So yes, it's some people say it was Martin Luther that brought the Christmas tree, but it started in Germany. It didn't come to the United States until the English, when they were fighting us, hired German soldiers to come and fight for them. And they brought the Christmas tree over. So it's the people that were fighting against us during the Revolutionary War, the Germans that the English paid for, they're the ones that brought the Christmas tree over to us. And it wasn't really until mid-1800s when Queen Victoria had her German-born husband was celebrating their birth of their first child, and he brought a Christmas tree into the palace, wherever they were, and decorated it, and somehow pictures of that got out into the English countryside, and they saw, oh, look, they're being decorated, and then that came over here also. So, and the first ornaments came over from Germany also. I think it was Woolworths that brought over a whole bunch of ornaments one year, and everybody, oh, you're going to lose your shirt on that. No one's going to buy all those. And he thought he way overbought, and he sold out within 2 weeks. Everybody wanted to get those really bright, shiny, you know, glass-type ornaments for their trees. And so he kept ordering them from them, and that's how they started coming here. You know, it started out where people would just do candy and popcorn and maybe hang up some presents in the tree, and to a really fancy, you know, the German Christmas bulbs that they put on the tree. So it's kind of fun how that evolved. It evolved from a very pagan rite, from pre-Jesus time, where they would bring the trees in the house and the evergreen boughs and everything, because it meant life, that life was going to go on in the spring, because these were still green, and that, you know, guaranteed more green in the spring. So, yes, then, you know, they just, yeah, at first the Christian church was mad when the Christians would do that too, but you know what? They kind of twisted it so it made more Christian values to it rather than pagan values. At the beginning, you know, when Christians were persecuted in Rome, they celebrated God Saturn at the winter solstice, and they celebrated it by making little round wreaths out of laurel and ivy, and, you know, handing them to everybody. They gave them out, hung them in their house. They decorated with them. The Christians made that, you know, they didn't want to be persecuted anymore, and you certainly had to do the same things the Romans did. So they came up with the little round wreaths that they gave out were really a symbol of Christ's love, because it was never ending. So they would decorate their houses and give them away also with a different meaning, just so they would not be persecuted, wouldn't stand out. I think I probably would have done that too. So, you know, it just there, that came with the meaning of Christ's love never ending. And that was the circle of the green. So just all part of, you know, the gardening thing here. Everybody likes gardening. It's a symbol of life. It's a symbol. It's going to go on. So yeah, the Christmas tree, the wreaths, all very important part of Christmas season. We need to stop and do the news now, but we will be back right after these messages.
let's get back to the Jan Musin Garden Show. Call the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland now at 395-1450. Once again, here's Jan Musin.
And we are back. We've been talking about some of the traditions of Christmas and how they are garden-oriented. There is one thing called the Flower of the Holy Night. That is the poinsettia or the poinsettia. I'm not quite sure exactly how you pronounce that. And that's because those red bracts that are on there, they're supposed to represent the flaming star of Bethlehem. And the Mexican people, the Aztecs, all celebrated the mid-winter solstice with the flower also, with the bright red flower. That's the only color it came in originally. The Aztecs made a fever medicine. You know, if you break open the poinsettia, and poinsettia's got a bad rap. It's so poisonous. Don't have it around your pets. The only way you might get a stomach ache if you break one of the stems and you get that white sap that comes out. If you eat enough of that white sap, you might get a little stomach ache, and your dog or cat might get a little indigestion. But it's not as poisonous as some of the other things are, so don't worry too much about that one. But they also made they made a purple red dye out of it, they made it that red sap to do for pleurisy and for gout. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then, of course, the ambassador to Mexico, Mr. Poinsett, he sent a bunch of poinsettias up to his greenhouse in North Carolina or South Carolina, and that's who developed them for the entire United States. It went to Albert Eck's greenhouse down in Los Angeles, and they became the leading producer of poinsettias. And poinsettias they're a great flower. They used to only last just for a few days indoors. They have really hybridized them well. They last much longer. I can have mine last for months in my house, and you get different colors. They're also more compact, longer lasting, and they come in red, pink, white, gold. There's marbled and variegated varieties. So they've done a good job of expanding the thing. I mean, there's still a flower that really represents Christmas. I mean, everybody knows poinsettias, and then they think of Christmas. But then I just read in some of the gardening magazines that the flower of Christmas is really the amaryllis, the beautiful amaryllis that grows. And, you know, you can force it to come up around Christmas time. We've got a bunch of that are growing in the store right now, and we still have a bunch of them. If you want to give an amaryllis out for a pet, for a present. But, you know, I'm sitting here reading about the amaryllis. Oh, I've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the Garden Hour.
Jen, good morning. This is your old board operator, Ben, speaking. How are you?
I'm well, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear you again.
Yes, it's wonderful to hear you. How's your dog?
He's doing well. I got a new dog, too.
Oh!
Milo's my parents' dog. I got a new dog, Reuben, just a few weeks ago, and he's doing well. He's tearing up the house, but he's a cutie, so I let him do it.
Doing what he's supposed to do, yes.
That's right. He's normal. So, hey, I didn't have a question or anything. I just called to wish you and everybody listening a Merry Christmas, and just wanted to let you know that we appreciate all your wisdom and everything you do for the community.
Well, thank you, Ben, and I do miss you, too. Adam would love to meet you, too, I'm sure of it. But, yes, I miss you, and I hope you're doing well. And I wish you and your whole lovely family a wonderful Christmas. And enjoy that new puppy.
Well, thank you very much. And, hey, if it's okay with you, I'd like to intercept you at the radio station. I've got some treats here that you can take back to the hardworking folks at the Brines. Because I know you don't feed them very well.
I don't.
So I don't want them to starve.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ben. I'm off at noon.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye-bye. I'm always amazed at how many people bring in treats for us at DeBrine's. I'm one day last week, I can't tell you how many muffins, and there were turnovers, and there were cinnamon rolls, and there were cookies on the table that people had brought in for us. And thank you so much. My guys are always starving. I don't know where they put it all, but it all disappears and quickly. So thank you very much. Talking about an amaryllis. And hey, if you've got a call, 616-395-1450 is the number to call. Amaryllis, this is comes from Greek mythology, which couldn't be further away from anything. And there was a girl called Amaryllis, and she fell in love with a shepherd named Alteo. But he only had love for flowers and would only love someone who could give him a new flower. So Amaryllis consulted the oracle and was instructed to wound herself with an arrow at Alteo's doorstep while expressing her love for him. And after 30 days of this, a large red flower bloomed from the spot where her blood had hit the ground. She presented the flower to Alteo, and they married.
That seems a little extreme.
This is the weirdest story for how they got a flower of an amaryllis. But somehow we spun that into it is tied to St. Joseph's staff. The story goes that Joseph was chosen to become the Virgin Mary's husband after his staff sprouted amaryllis blooms. So two very unusual stories of how the amaryllis became now the official Christmas flower. And I have to, everybody buys the amaryllis bulbs to give them out for friends and family. I cannot believe, I mean, even our employees are bringing them home for their families also. And I've got some going on at my house too. I've got one of those waxed amaryllis going. I love that. Don't even have to think about it. So one thing in the house I don't have to think about. Thank you very much. The rest of my things are taking up way too much of my time. But yes, the amaryllis, the new flower of Christmas. It comes in red. It's got a apple blossom. It's got white. It's got red with a little white and yellow in the middle of it. We've got all those varieties at DeBrine's. Plenty of them. We've got them in kits where it comes with a pot and the soil and the bulb. Or you can just get the bulb if you've got, you know, potting soil at home in a couple of pots, and who doesn't? We've got a lot of really nice big bulbs at the store that are starting to grow already, so they should pop once you plant them in the ground. They're fun to do. You know, those and paper white bulbs, and another one that doesn't require any work. You just put them in the ground, or you put paper white bulbs, you can put them in little stones and they'll grow. They're fun to do also. It's a fun thing to do with the kids. I have them watch something growing inside. And, you know, just the fact that something is growing and blooming indoors when it looks like, you know, the middle of winter, gray, snow, ice, sleet out there. It's wonderful to look, turn around and you see a great big flower blooming in your living room. So keep that in mind, even as a present for somebody else. We need to stop and take a break, but we will be back right after this.
Let's get back to the Jan Musin Garden Show. Call the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland now at 395-1450. Once again, here's Jan Musin.
We are back. We were talking about the different things that are related to Christmas, that are plant related. Another plant that's Christmas related is the Christmas cactus, and I'm really not sure that I don't see any fun little story of how that got, you know, involved with Christmas, but it comes from Brazil, the Christmas cactus, and there's also a Thanksgiving cactus, and you can tell the difference because Thanksgiving cactus have 2 to 4 pointed teeth along their edges of each little bracket they have, whereas a Christmas cactus is more scalloped. And there are ones that are kind of half one and half another also. Mine bloomed at Thanksgiving, and right now it's sending out more buds to bloom again at Christmas. So mine's a Thanksgiving and Christmas cactus, I guess. It's really gone well this year. But I don't know of any cute little story that goes, except it blooms around this time of year, around the middle of the winter here. But if you think about it, it came from Brazil, so this is the middle of their summer. That would make sense as to why they are blooming now. They are pretty, they're really sensitive to day length and temperature, and that controls the flowering of both. They are short day plants, and they won't bloom properly if exposed to artificial light at night. So keep the cactus out of a room that has a lot of light at night. If you're sitting there watching TV or reading a book at night in one particular room, make sure it's not the room that's got your cactus in it. That likes daytime temperatures around 70 or above and nighttime temperatures 60 to 65. It's going to suffer in my house. My house is never even 70 degrees. So, I mean, it's got to learn to like where it is. I've got it in the south window. What good of that does it right now? Because there's no sun in the winter here in Michigan. But, hey, it seems to thrive. I mean, it's sending out a second thing of flowers for me. So I guess it's a pretty good little guy. And more in Europe than in here, robin redbreasts mean Christmas. And it's not the robin redbreast that we know. If you've been to England or in Scandinavia, they also have the same bird. And it flies over to England for some reason for the winter. And it's a pretty little bird. It's just a little bit smaller than our robin. It has a red breast, and according to the Christmas legend, a robin landed on the shoulder of Jesus and sang in order to relieve his suffering while he was on the cross. And the blood from Jesus' crown of thorns stained the little bird's breast, and from then on all robins were red-breasted. That's the story behind it. More of an Easter story, but they seem to gather in the winter, and you see them a lot in English gardens. They're flitting around in the winter around this time of year. You'll see these, what they call robins. And you would call it a robin, too. It's robin-shaped, just a little bit smaller. And they're absolutely beautiful little birds. They sing a lot. And they mean Christmas out there. In fact, I got a... when I was in England a long time ago, I got a Christmas stocking, and it's got one of the little robin redbreasts on it. So, yeah, I know now firsthand that that's where it came from. It doesn't mean the robins that we have here, because they're all gone. If they're smart, they're all gone. So when you hear about a robin redbreast, that's what they're talking about. It's more of a European-type thing. Also, when I was in Scandinavia, there were a lot of robin redbreasts all in their art. I thought that was kind of interesting, but wasn't really aimed at Christmas. But they had a lot of them. So not only Christmas plants, but Christmas birds all come from and now mean something for Christmas in the year. So just a fun little facts there. If you have lucky enough to have a real Christmas tree in your house, I am going to say, you know, a reminder of keep the water full. That's going to keep your tree a lot fresher if you can keep the water full. Remember, when you first put it out, it's probably going to need to be changed 2 to 3 times a day. You're going to have to fill that thing up. And if you've got pets like mine that think that that's their water bowl, you're going to might have to do it a little bit more often. So keep it full. That is my big thing. You really don't need to add anything to the water. Just keep the water full. That's what I'm going to say. Your evergreen branches, really not a problem, but I wouldn't leave them in the house until they get so brittle that they are just a fire hazard. So I would definitely not do that. And always consider taking your Yuletide plants, like your Christmas tree, and even some of your green decorations, and put them out on the porch or the deck or wherever, so the birds can get in there. They fly in and out. They hide in there. You can string up some cranberries, some popcorn, no salt, no butter, just plain popcorn, and give that to the birds out there. Put some suet balls on the tree while it's out there. When I had a live tree, I always put it out on my deck, and I was the one that was always looking for the place. Now, where can I take care of this in May? But by then, it's really dried out, and you could actually burn it by then. But I loved watching how much the birds used the Christmas tree and how much they loved it and how much I loved it when it was in the house. So did double duty. So that's always fun. And if you're going to do the great backyard bird count, you put that Christmas tree in the back, right where you're going to count, you'll see a whole lot of birds going in and out of there. It loves that little break where it's got, it can get in there. So keep that in mind. You know, I know that there's some tree pickups and some Holland and Park Township. You can bring it over to Quincy Street Park there. But it's kind of fun to share it with the birds. I have to remind you that I will be back here next Tuesday at 8:35 or so with who am I there with? I'm there with Dan. Okay, Dan, sorry, forgot. So 8:35 with Dan, and then from 10 until 11 on Talk of the Town with Gary. And we were just talked about this with Carrie. We're not really sure if we're going to be back here next Saturday or not on Christmas Eve. Adam doesn't have any idea either. Nobody gives us any kind of pre-thought of maybe they may want to do plans on Christmas Eve, but hey, If I'm supposed to be here, I will be here next week at 11:05.
But I have no problem being here on Christmas Eve morning.
Okay, so I might be here too then, because I will have to be at work anyway. So until then, all I'm going to say is go green.
You've been listening to the Jan Musin Garden Show on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com. If you wish to hear this or other programs hosted by the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland, check out the podcast section of our website, WHTC.com, and listen or download for free. The Jan Musin Garden Show is a presentation of 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.